to the Brown Bowl podcast. I'm Kim, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time. Today, we are going to be talking about cooking and cooking skills and food, and I'm going to give you some great tips to kind of start improving your plant-based cooking skills. So five simple tips that are really going to help you kind of on this journey of cooking delicious restaurant-style meals. Yes, you can do that, even if you're a home cook. It's absolutely possible. Now, you know that in our podcast, we talk about a whole bunch of different topics, all related to plant-based diets and veganism, but also all about wellness and your relationship with food and how to find balance between having delicious treats and also taking care of your health, being extremely healthy, being able to maintain or manage your weight. So all of these topics are always present here, but I also love to include food topics and cooking topics. You know that I'm a plant-based cook, so you know that this is a passion of mine, but it's also important because in order for our healthy habits to stick, food has to be really delicious. It has to be varied. It has to be interesting. So this is why I kind of alternate from topics from time to time. You know, I give you some wellness topics and some lifestyle topics. We talk about our relationship with food and mindful eating. And then I also kind of sneak in there a few little things about cooking because cooking is where it starts. Your kitchen is where it starts. And as soon as you start cooking more at home, things start kind of falling into place, especially if you can find that beautiful balance between health-giving foods and delicious treats that you love and things that are interesting and filling and satisfying. So today, we're going to talk about those five simple tips to kind of help you skyrocket your cooking skills. You know, you don't need to go to cooking school to really improve your cooking skills. And I'm going to teach you some of my favorite tips, the way that I got started before I got my training, so that you can, you know, start on this journey. The kitchen doesn't have to be an overwhelming place. I can tell you that anybody can learn how to cook. And it's really, really fun and simple when you can see what you're doing and translate that into the plate and what you're eating. So it's really, really fun and interesting. So as you know, although my cooking skills skyrocketed when I studied cooking and got certified as a plant-based cook, most of my skills and my creativity in the kitchen was something that developed over time. And it was something that simply came from huge curiosity and lots of practice. There is nothing that is truer than the more you practice in the kitchen, the better you get. It's so true. So not to mention, of course, all the wonderful and unexpected teachers that I had along the way as well. So all of these things kind of played a part. Now, most of what I know about cooking was completely self-taught. And it's the result of over 19 years of simply spending time in the kitchen and having the desire to kind of get better and better and learn what I needed to learn. So it's also the result of just loving food and being a serious eater. So when you eat, when you go and experience different foods and different flavors, that also influences your cooking. That's the funnest part, right? That's the most fun part. So all of these things kind of played a part in my journey. Now, whenever friends come over for dinner, or for example, I listen to them talk about their cooking, I always hear the same things. So on the one hand, people have this kind of firm belief that outstanding restaurant-like cooking is kind of reserved for just a select few, and that you're kind of either born with the gift or you went to the best cooking school in Paris, and that's it. Those are kind of your two options, right? And if you feel like a common mortal, it's not possible to have these beautiful restaurant-like meals. And that is so not the case, but more on that later. So this is one thing that I hear from friends, family, from members, from readers, but they also, on the other hand, they also use time as an excuse not to create varied and creative meals. So they say, for example, if I had more time, I could make more interesting meals, but you know, now I only cook kind of the same foods over and over again. And, you know, people get bored and they don't feel that their cooking is interesting and they don't do anything to kind of move past that. Does that sound familiar? Now, I know time restraint is real, especially if you're a parent, especially if you work long hours. So I know that that is a restraint, but it's not it doesn't go hand in hand with not being able to cook deliciously. So delicious cooking can be quick, it can be easy. It has to do with how you learn how to incorporate all of those components. So this is an excuse, and we're gonna kind of take it away slowly throughout our episodes and throughout our blog. I'm gonna teach you that you don't have to have 3 hours to cook an amazing meal. Okay, here's another thing I hear from people. I hear that they don't have any space in their kitchen. For example, they have a teeny tiny kitchen, or another one, they can't afford fancy equipment, for example. Now for this one, I have a little story to share with you. The best cook I have ever met in person in my life was my uncle, Ali. And my uncle, he was quite the character. He lived such a varied life. He majored in college in film direction. He was also a cab driver in New York City at one point. He was a writer. And for most of his life, he actually worked as a journalist. So look at all these different things. He was also a musician. He played at CBGB's in New York with his band, The Leisure Units. And, you know, he had the most awesome voice on the planet. And other than kind of being he was kind of like a sandwich counter boy at one of New York City's most famous delis for a while. Other than that little stint as, you know, working with food, he had no formal training in cooking whatsoever. And in spite of that, he became kind of an informal student of cooking. And he taught me everything I know about cooking methods and French techniques, and especially making gravy and the best sauces. Now, I think that when you master sauces, your cooking just skyrockets. You understand cooking in a completely different way. And this was one of the main things that he taught me. He played a huge part in my cooking journey. So many of the recipes that I cook today and that I developed today are based on those little things he taught me throughout the years when we would cook together. So he never once took a class. And I have to tell you that the best meal he ever made me, and he made me so many amazing meals, but the best one, well, I have to say, other than his potato latkes were a thing of beauty. And if you're a member of our online program, I have kind of my vegan version of his latkes. He wasn't vegan one bit, but and his potato latkes weren't vegan, but I veganized them and they are scrumptious. They're in the online program if you want to make those at home. And other than his potato latkes, this incredible meal, the most amazing meal he ever made me, was in an old cast iron skillet, so one skillet. It was over an open fire outside in the middle of the woods behind his house. So he just set up a fire, he brought that cast iron skillet, a few ingredients, and he just made the most amazing meal right on the spot. That was it. So no kitchen, no equipment, only that pan, and no formal training, and just his creativity and his way of cooking. So the way we cook and the way we put flavors together, that's what makes a spectacular meal. It's not only about the equipment. Of course, some pieces of equipment make your life easier. Some are going to kind of streamline the process a little bit, but you can make amazing meals without having to use all of these excuses for not getting better. So that's my point right here. So here's the deal. If you've ever thought that creating delicious restaurant style meals was only for a lucky few, I want you to think again. Anybody can get better at cooking and better at plant-based cooking and start creating scrumptious meals on a day-to-day basis. It's easy. You just need to learn some skills. So once you start learning some basics, they don't take any additional effort. They don't even require you to use a recipe. You learn them, you kind of internalize them, and it just becomes the way that you cook. So of course, you also need to practice, and the good news is that you get 3 or more chances each and every day. So one of the great things about improving your cooking skills is that you reach that point I always talk to you about in our online program, which is becoming recipe free. Now, don't get me wrong, I still cook from recipe books because there are so many fantastic and talented chefs out there that I want to kind of learn from their recipes, but in the majority of cases, I never use recipes when I cook. And that comes from years of learning and understanding ingredients, temperatures, cooking methods. And that is the skill that I want to kind of slowly teach you here at Bromble. Because when you reach that point, cooking is as easy as it gets, but the result is amazing and bursting with flavor. Now, to help you along this journey, today what I want to do is I want to share my top five beginner tips to help you improve your plant-based cooking skills. We all need to start somewhere, and these are kind of my favorites to get you started. Now, in a future episode, we can dive deeper, I can give you some more advanced tips, but these are kind of my favorites to get you started. Okay, tip number one is I want you to set a rule for yourself and make one new recipe per week. So I'll say that again. Tip number one, set a rule for yourself and make one new recipe per week. Now, recipes are kind of the best thing ever. I know I told you that the goal is to be recipe free, but let's back up a little here. You don't start by being recipe free. You start by making recipes. Now, recipes are great because somebody has already gone through hours and hours of recipe testing for you. Now, trust me, because I am a recipe tester and recipe developer, trust me when I tell you that this is no easy task. You have no idea how many tests a recipe needs to become, you know, that perfect final recipe that you use. So this means that, you know, when you have one and you follow it correctly, it will turn out great every single time. So somebody has already gone through all the effort, all the trouble, and you just have to kind of follow the steps. It's so easy. And it's also a lovely moment to relax and kind of give in to the directions, just follow, you know, like if you were a kid, following directions for some activity you were doing. So since I'm constantly creating my own recipes and doing testing, you know, those days in which I decide to simply follow one from a cookbook or from the internet, they feel like a very fun vacation. Now, I know I told you that the idea is to eventually become recipe free, not for all your meals, but for, you know, your day-to-day cooking. It makes things kind of more spontaneous and faster, but it's also nice when I'm constantly, every single day, I'm testing recipes, I'm trying it again, altering one little ingredient, adding more of another ingredient, trying to take out ingredients to make the list of ingredients smaller. So it's almost like this scientific process that can get tiring and overwhelming when you're doing it every single day. So sometimes when I just get to open a book and decide to follow a recipe that some wonderful chef has designed for me, oh my God, it's like a fun vacation. It really is. So recipes do rock. And once you get familiar with them, you can start improving them and playing around with them. So that's once you get your sea legs, you can start kind of messing with them a little bit and tuning them to what you like. So what I recommend is that you set a day in your calendar when you and your family get together for a meal, or if you don't want to kind of risk it and make a new recipe for the first time, for other people, you can just choose a moment in which you have some downtime for yourself and you make that day your new recipe day. So once a week, you're gonna have that day in your calendar. It's not a full day, it's a meal, just one meal. You grab a cookbook or you kind of glance at your Pinterest boards and you make a new dish. And I want you to make this a habit. And that means that I want you to do it every week as kind of a little sacred date with yourself and your kitchen. If you don't have a lot of time on one week, then choose a very small thing like a snack or a dessert that is simple, something that is just like a little bite, something, but choose something. So try to practice one new recipe each and every week. This is the best way to start improving your skills and kind of skip over that typical fear of cooking or those kind of endless rows of beautiful cookbooks that are lining your shelves. I know that they're there and that you've only used kind of as eye candy, right? You look at the pictures and you say, oh my God, this looks delicious. I'm going to make it someday. And you have never once cooked from them. Or maybe you made one recipe and then you put it on the shelf and then you never used it again. So it's time to open them up and add some gravy stains to those pages. Okay. So choose one day a week and make that your new recipe day. And this is a new recipe, not something that you've already tried that you liked. This is trying and experimenting with a new, different recipe. Okay, so tip number two is to read, pay attention here, I said read a recipe or two a week without making it. So this is easy, right? You just grab a cookbook, you read a recipe or you read two recipes once a week without making them, okay? So now, this is a lesson that Julia Child told me, not in person. I never met her. I have this great story with Julia Child, but I'm gonna save that one. I'm gonna save that one for another day because I actually dined kind of really close to her once in Paris. But that's a story for another day. I'm going to leave that. That one's special. So I'm going to leave that for another episode. But Julia Child, not in person, but through her books, especially through her book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, she taught me a big, important lesson. On a day in which I was in Paris and my flight was delayed on my way back home, and it was delayed for hours, and I had her book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, and I had a lot of hours to spare, so she taught me a lesson. Now, I have to tell you, I have to warn you, this is not a vegan book by any means, okay? She teaches you how to truss a chicken and how to completely debone a duck, so it's not vegan at all. But if there is someone who knows and understands technique and how to explain it, especially how to explain it, it's Julia. So she taught me right then and there that a cookbook is just a book and you could read it like a novel from cover to cover. Now, granted, this is for serious food lovers, okay? I understand if you don't want to sit on the commute to work reading a cookbook, partly because you're going to get massively hungry, and partly because, you know, if you're not interested in food, this is it's pointless, right? So, but I, you know, if you're not a food lover, you're probably not listening to this podcast, right? So trust me when I tell you that reading cookbooks and recipes, even when you're not making them, it will expand your vision on how different techniques are best suited for certain ingredients. You're going to learn countless tricks and tips, and it will be, honestly, like catnip laced with crack for your creativity. I'm serious. This is incredible. And this is a ritual that I perform weekly. And whenever I get a new cookbook, I read it. Honestly, I read it. Well, I have this whole system. I have a list in which I add, you know, recipes and pages of things that I want to try. Yeah, I have this whole system, but of course I work with food, so you don't have to do that. But I do continually read recipes without making them. And this is something I want you to get in the habit of doing. Now, if you're afraid that reading a recipe is going to make you massively hungry and dig into some unhealthier things, then do it after you've already eaten. That's a little trick I have for you. The same goes with cooking shows, things like that. They're a huge kind of trigger for me in making me want to go and dig into something. But if I have just eaten, that is kind of off the table because I'm not hungry. So that's a great tip. But I want you to really take this one seriously. I know it sounds like it's pointless if you're not making the recipe. Please, please believe me. This is one of the greatest things. It's one of those things that really kind of increased my creativity in the kitchen. It's to read a recipe or two a week without making it. And it's easy because you don't need a lot of time. You just need, 5 minutes for each recipe? Really simple. Okay, tip number three is to buy one unusual vegetable or fruit or spice or whole grain or any other ingredient. And I want you to try to incorporate it in a meal this week. So I'll say it again. Tip number three is to buy one unusual vegetable or fruit or spice or ingredient and try to incorporate it in a meal this week. Now, even if you incorporate these kind of newbies in your usual repertoire and your usual dishes, so even if you're making the same dish you make every day for lunch, I want you to try to add or figure out a way to incorporate this new ingredient that you bought. This will help you kind of understand their flavors and their textures, what works together and what doesn't work together. And I often go to this kind of, we have this little international fruit and veggie store. It's really fantastic. It's a vegan's dream, I have to tell you, because they have they're kind of specialized in two things. They have these crazy fruits and vegetables you've probably never even heard of before. And they have traditional vegetables as well. And they have the biggest spice wall you can imagine. So you can buy little baggies of all these international spices. It's every time I go, I spent like an hour and a half there because it's a crazy, fantastic store. So I often go to the store here in Madrid. It's called Fruits of the World. Yeah, the name is in English, which is kind of strange here in Spain. And here is where I find, you know, those unusual ingredients. So I choose one and then I ask the vendor what it's called and if he's ever cooked with it. Now, you know that I've mentioned this before, but fruit and vegetable vendors are like the Yodas of cooking. They know so much about ingredients, and often they'll just explain a very, very simple way of preparing it so that it shines. So they have this very simplified way of approaching vegetables because they work with them every day. they've tried them. And I always, always, always ask the vendor if he's made them. And sometimes, I have to tell you, I remember the first time they started bringing kale over here to Spain. The kale wasn't popular. It was popular, well, collard greens are popular in the north of Spain, but kale was just, you couldn't find it anywhere, even in the boom of kale in the US. So you couldn't find it anywhere here, and they were the first ones to start bringing it. Now you can find it almost anywhere, but they were the first ones to sell it. And I remember the first time I saw it, I grabbed like 5 bags. I think I took all of the packages they had of kale in the store. And all of the guys came over, all of the salespeople and the vendor, and they asked me how to prepare it because they had just received it. They weren't sure. So it was, that was really funny. But most of the time, they are the experts. They know how to prepare these incredible, incredible ingredients. And there, you can often hear people in the store talking and swapping recipes and preparations. So this is really a great tip to ask them. But then after I buy these ingredients or this ingredient, I come home and then I Google it. So remember to ask the name of it, Google it. And I kind of just quickly glance at a few recipes online and I see what some typical pairings are. And then I just kind of try to use my creativity or add it to dishes that I already make and just taste it and see how the textures kind of play together and how it tastes. So I've discovered so many delicious ingredients this way, and this is definitely also true for spices. So spices are one of those things, they all look the same, but they all smell and taste completely different. And here, pairings are kind of what is going to elevate your dish or make it seem uninteresting. So spices are a great place to start practicing this. Buy a spice you've never bought before, smell it, taste it, go online, see what it pairs well with, what cuisine it's typically used in, and take a look at those flavor profiles and start playing with it. This isn't something in which you're going to lose points or you're going to mess up a meal completely. No, just play with it. So much of the work I do in the kitchen is just playing, I have to tell you. All right, so tip number 4 is start becoming familiar with food pairings. I just told you about food pairings. Let's talk about them. So start becoming familiar with food pairings through books and by becoming a student of restaurant menus. This is one of my favorite tips. You might have heard me mention it before related to veganism, but that's another story. So again, I'll say it again. Tip number 4 is to start becoming familiar with food pairings. That means what flavors go well together and what textures go well together through, and do that through books and by becoming a student of restaurant menus. So did you ever watch that beautiful cartoon of the two hats, yes, hats, like the hats you put in your head, these two hats, this was a cartoon, of course, they were in love and they were kind of made for each other. And there was this whole cartoon about how they kind of got separated and it's this whole big thing. It was very popular when I was growing up and it's so beautiful. So I have to tell you that food is exactly the same way. Some foods were born to be together on the same plate. And you try and try different combinations of flavors and some work, some shouldn't be in the same room together, and some are like two peas in a little pod. And for example, I don't know, strawberry and rhubarb, right? We've always heard of strawberry and rhubarb pie. Why? Because these two flavors, they just go so well together. Chocolate and raspberries. So there's a reason why there's a little topping of raspberries on top of your chocolate pudding or your chocolate creme brulee. It goes well together. These are famous food pairings, and I could go on and on. In fact, this is going to be a future episode. I'm going to help you with food pairings, common food pairings, so you can start experimenting. Now, understanding food pairings has been one of those tools that kind of really started to take my cooking to the next level. So why did that happen? Well, you've heard me talk before about flexing your cooking by instinct muscle, what we talked about at the beginning of the episode, cooking without a recipe. So that way, when you kind of flex that muscle and you practice, when you're pressed for time, you can cook a delicious meal in minutes without the need to measure any ingredients or follow a recipe. Now, I said that following a recipe is also a good idea. Yes, that's one of my tips. But I mean, when you're pressed for time and you just want to whip up something quickly, understanding food pairings is really going to help you create a scrumptious, delicious dish. Now, understanding food pairings and knowing what flavors are going to work together, They're just the best tools. They're the best tools to help you on that journey because you're going to know how to get your dish started every single time. Just by opening your fridge and seeing what you have, you know your eye is going to go straight to the things that work together, and that's what's going to spark your creativity. So my favorite two ways to do this, to kind of develop your knowledge about food pairings, is of course through cookbooks and books about world cuisines. Wonderful. These are wonderful. Or books about food in general. So there are books about food that don't have recipes or have small amounts of recipes, and they have a lot of chapters about the food and about the ingredients. This is great. They almost always reference food pairings. So a fantastic, well, two fantastic books for this. One of them is The Vegetarian Flavor Bible by Karen Page. This is a fantastic book for that. And also How to Cook Everything Vegetarian by Mark Bittman. By the way, this book is so huge that it also works as a handy self-defense weapon. And it's wonderful. Both are wonderful. Now, both, don't worry because of the title, I know it says vegetarian, but both have plenty of vegan content in spite of having that name. So they have both. They have vegetarian and they have vegan content and explanations and pairings. So the kind of the other way, this is one way, right? Through books. Fantastic. Now the other way I use to, the other way I use to kind of learn about food pairings is something that made me find my vegan sweet spot fast. And this is probably what you've heard in another episode. And something that I had kind of never consciously done before going vegan. This is something that occurred to me because I just didn't know how to build my meals. So I began to study the menus of great restaurants online. So almost every single restaurant out there, even the fantastic, wonderful, great restaurants, they have their menus online these days. So you don't have to travel to New York City and go to the top vegan restaurant to find out what they're serving. You just go online from your home. It's really, really easy. And of course, you just take a look. You just take a look at those dishes, how they build a dish together. This is going to help you with your veganism and how to kind of wrap your head around your meal if you're just getting started with being vegan or you're taking steps in that direction. This has really helped me. This is where I discovered the magic of toppings. You can go back and listen to episodes in which I've talked about that. But this is kind of food pairing nirvana. That's what I want us to focus on today. When you start studying these menus of these restaurants and these high quality restaurants, you are going to immediately see the common food pairings and food pairings that maybe you haven't even thought of that really, really go together. And of course, you'll get a ton of flavor combination ideas, inspiration. I mean, it's fantastic. I still do that to this day. So it's really great. And of course, those books I mentioned are fantastic. Many other books are also wonderful. Okay, guys, so we're almost done. Time for tip number 5, which is watch cooking videos. You know I'm a little biased with this one, right? And you're gonna see why after I finish. So watching cooking videos, this is so important. Now, if you've read our posts at bramble.com about my journey through cooking, we have part 1 and part 2, and the links are in the post that corresponds to this episode. So you can go to bramble.com and check that out. So if you've read these posts, you know that other than my uncle who I mentioned and my formal training, cooking videos were my number one teacher. I started watching cooking videos and cooking when I was 15, and you know, big meals, I'm talking Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner at my house. I started doing that when I was 15 because of cooking videos. I would race home from school straight to the TV and spend hours in front of the Food Network with a notebook in hand. So to this day, I feel that video is the most powerful tool for cooking because even if you're not cooking in that moment, in the moment of watching the video, your brain is processing what that is actually going to look like and be like when you actually do head into the kitchen to cook. So this is why we created our online program, My Brown Bowl, entirely in video format. So you could take your vegan cooking to the next level and learn the way that I learned because it just transformed my cook. Well, it didn't transform my cooking. It taught me how to cook. When you see somebody doing it, when you hear the explanation while the person is doing it, there's nothing that beats that. So there's no stress, there's no pressure. You just watch and then you take some notes or you print out the recipe and then you practice. You can watch it again. You can watch it while you are cooking. I love that so many of our members, they send us snapshots of their kitchen while they're creating a recipe, and they have their iPad next to it with me giving them their directions. So you can do this however you like. And of course, this is a shameless plug for our little baby, our online program, in which, you know, we're constantly adding, well, every week we add new content, new videos, and you can learn more about that. I'm not going to kind of waste your time here talking about it because you probably heard about it before, and you can go and read and check our videos about it by going to mybrownbowl.com. And, you know, if you can't join yet, or if you're waiting to see if your loved one will kind of gift you a membership for Christmas, for example, you can also enjoy our YouTube channel with lots of videos, much more coming soon. And of course, all of the other wonderful cooking videos from other vegan cooks who are out there who have videos on YouTube. There are so many nowadays. So just look for a recipe you're thinking about and start watching cooking videos. You can also do this by watching cooking shows on TV. Now, the problem with TV is that there aren't a lot of vegan cooking shows out there, but I still recommend you watch some. I feel that you can learn a lot from understanding how flavors play together, and you can get so creative by figuring out what vegan substitutions you could make to prepare that dish. But if you want to stay vegan, if watching, you know, meat being cooked or eggs and dairy being used and that doesn't sit well with you, then by all means, go to YouTube. There are so many things there. Search for vegan recipes, vegan channel, anything like that, and you'll find it. And of course, dig into ours. We've got lots of cool stuff there right now and lots of cool stuff coming. So in a future post, I'm going to take you further along this journey with some kind of more advanced tips. But these are my top five. These are five that I still do almost every single week. To this day, this is how I got started. It's how I improved my cooking, and it's how what I still do today to kind of keep sprucing up those skills. So they work like a charm. They really do, to kind of help you gain confidence and knowledge in the kitchen. So it's really important, and I highly recommend these tips. Now, you have to kind of be strict about keeping these in your schedule so that they become a habit. So do that. Just put a little note, put a little reminder on your phone that it's that day or that meal in which you get to experiment, and a moment when you're relaxed and you can read a recipe. So all of these little things, they all work, and they're all going to help you. No extra money spent, no formal cooking training required. These are things anybody can start doing today. So that's really fantastic. Now, I have to ask you, if there is a resource or a tool that has helped you improve your cooking skills, please leave it in social media, and we're everywhere as Brownbowl and Brownbowl Kitchen on Twitter. And of course, you can send us an email, tell us the story, tell us, ask us any questions you might have, or leave it in the comments of the blog post that goes with this episode. So is there any resource or tool or technique that has really helped you kind of improve in the kitchen? And of course, don't forget to share this episode with anybody you know who is kind of trying to cook more at home, eat more at home, and wants to have delicious restaurant-style meals made in their very own kitchen. Don't forget to check out our online program, My Brown Bowl. You can go to mybrownbowl.com and check out all of that. We have a free video series for you to start kind of getting your feet wet, and I think you're gonna love it. So go on, do that. We will see each other again. Well, not see each other. We'll hear each other. Well, not even that. You will hear me. You know what I mean, right? You will hear me next week on Thursday. That's our date. I'll see you next time.